Welcome to Burning River Radio. I'm Joe Koblitz, and I'm a little disappointed because I asked for another straight man to replace Justin for me to bounce my jokes off of, and they gave me the exact opposite. He's Mike Milleragno.
If you're insinuating that I'm gay, it's because I am, because I'm very happy that baseball is back.
Was that joke too cheap? I think it went over everyone's head, the 3.5 people that listened to this.
Who's the half person?
Oh, I don't know. Aaron?
Well, they say, you know, the average American family has like 2.2 kids. So you're pretty close.
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's talk about some baseball. Let's move on from your ridiculous, silly jokes.
I think that's the only point of the show is my ridiculous, silly jokes, isn't it?
No, not at all.
I just need a place to put them out.
I would much rather talk about meaningless baseball than talk about your jokes.
Okay, I don't want to talk about meaningless baseball. I want to talk about important things, because this morning I went to minor league bunting practice.
Yay!
And Kai Tom, who everyone loves, went 15 for 15, and he won King Bunter.
Describe bunting practice.
So in the,
how does he go? Is it just 15, getting the bunt down 15 times in a row?
They had goals in this particular. There were two different bunting stations, which obviously you need. They set up different stations and rotate. And I kind of want to talk about this too, but this is non sequitur or whatever. So they set up these two different bunting stations. One of them, the guy just wants to practice sacrifice bunts, and so essentially they try to deaden it, and they draw a line on the ground, and you want to stop the ball before that line, and then they try to bunt down the first baseline, and it was bunting down the first baseline that they were counting, and if you went back to the pitcher, you were out. If you went foul, you were out. If you went to third base, you were out. So he went 15 for 15 down the first baseline without hitting a foul ball. It was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Is another interesting thing about spring training. I was thinking this as I was going today because I had to make the choice. Do you want to watch Major League or Minor League spring training? And as I said to someone on Twitter today, I'd much rather watch the Minor Leaguers because I can watch the Major Leaguers play 162 games a year. You know, that's I can see that on TV. I can watch the whole thing. I go to most of the Major League spring training games themselves. So when I'm going to practice, I really want to watch the minor leaguers, especially because they have four fields going all the time, and you can see all sorts of stuff. And that, again, you have the problem there of do I watch – they had literally had bunting practice right in front of batting practice, and at the same time they're doing infield practice on the other side. So you really have to focus in on like one thing at a time. And then there's three other fields where all the same stuff is going on. So you got to pick who you're going to follow. So today I moved around a lot, but I was really impressed by Sam Haggerty. He looks good. He's a guy that I never have really seen before because he skipped AZL, went straight to Mahoning Valley, I believe. He might have went straight to Lake County. And then he's played at Lynchburg, so I've never seen this guy play before. So this I like seeing him hit. He hit pretty well. And Mitch Longo looks pretty good. He's another guy. Skipped this level. So I'm really trying to take advantage of these guys that I never seen play before. To at least get to see him practice a little bit.
Yeah, I basically want to interview you because you're the one that's basically on the ground there. And, you know, those of us that are listening in Cleveland that haven't been to spring training, who haven't watched minor league practice, I think would be really good insight to talk about exactly how it goes down there in Goodyear. But Haggerty, yeah, I you know what, he was in Lake County last year. The one thing that really stuck out in my eye about him is he gets really good extension through the ball. He really hits the ball with authority, and he really gets really good backspin on it. Obviously, there's no stat cast, in Eastlake, so you don't know what his exit velocity is, but he hits the ball really hard.
We had unofficial stat cast today, which was Anthony Medrano, who was feeding the balls into the pitching machine for batting practice. They were playing a game, and I love all the little games. Just like I told you about the bunting game, in this particular game, it was every time you hit the ball hard, you get a point, and whoever ends with the most points wins. And so he won like two or three of the rounds because every ball he hit was he was just crushing. And he broke one of his bats and was so mad, but I think it still would have blooped in there for a single. So, yeah, he looked really good. I'm happy to see Mark Mathias play. Last year he was in, I think it was the first Major League spring training game of the year. He came in as a defensive replacement at second base, dove for a ball, separated his shoulder, had to be carted off the field, and missed most of the season. He really lost some time last year, so I'm glad to see him healthy, you know, playing with everybody else. And another big guy was Anderson Polanco I saw today, the left-handed pitcher. He disappeared. Like, he just fell off the map completely, and he's back. I did not see the left-handed pitcher from Lynchburg, and I can't remember his name. Kaminsky, Rob Kaminsky.
From Lynchburg?
No, from Akron.
Okay.
Rob Kaminsky was not there today. So I don't know. He's been MIA, and people have been asking me about him for 2 years, and I'm like, I don't know. He's supposed to be in Arizona. Last summer he was supposed to be here, and I never saw him at any of the AZL games or anything.
Right.
So I still have no clue about him. He's in the Indian system still officially, but...
Well, talk about some... I mean, have you seen Bree Aiken at all? How does he look?
I saw him warm up today, but that was it.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw all the pitchers warm, you know, throwing just their basic. And they do some interesting drills, some different stuff that I hadn't seen players do before. Kind of, it's almost like a crow hop running thing where they're like starting into their rotation as they're going. They're really doing a lot of important stuff that probably is boring to most people, but I sat there and watched it because it's really, really interesting on how they're working on getting the fundamentals down. Especially with the pitchers, like making them rotate. And I know later this week they have to, you know, each have like a 1 hour session where they're working with a trainer to make sure that they're pitching in the most efficient way possible. You know, like that's very important to reduce injuries, to make sure that you're not putting so much force on your elbow, you know, that you're staying consistent, that you're using your lower body strength to push it. Cause if your lower body can handle the stress more, you know, and you have more strength in your lower body. So I'm very happy that the Indians are doing that. As I said, when Sam Haggerty was hitting, one of the rules was if you hit it on the ground, you're out. It doesn't matter how hard you hit it on the ground. If you hit it on the ground, you're out. It doesn't count. So they're really pushing launch angle on these kids. I think there's some exciting stuff there. I watched Trevor Bauer the other day. The Indians expanded their clubhouse. I don't know if I talked about it on here or not. City of Goodyear gave them like $11 million or something, loaned them. So they could expand the clubhouse. They expand the dining hall. They put they can now eat on the roof of the building. There's picnic tables up there, which is kind of cute.
Oh, wow.
So they expanded all this stuff. And the weight room is now outdoor. So you can, as a fan, stand there where they sign autographs and look into their weight room and watch guys working out, which is a little creepy. But one of the things they did was they put a concrete wall on the outside of the building. And they have all these different – they've got medicine balls, like real big ones, and then they have the weighted balls, which, of course, Trevor Bauer made popular, but I believe Carrasco and Salazar and most of the guys use them now. And he just stood there for, you know, 20 minutes throwing this weighted ball into a concrete wall.
So it kind of reminds me of – the way you were describing it was, of course, it was a lot shittier, but in Winter Haven –
I swear.
Of course we are. This isn't a family podcast. It's never been a family podcast.
That's because I haven't been drinking. It's a little early for me to start drinking today.
Shit. So what you're saying is that we need to do this podcast a little later. Get some alcohol.
I think what I'm saying is every time I ever recorded with Justin, I was hammered.
Ah, okay. All right. So in Winter Haven, the weight room was I don't know if you ever went to Winter Haven or not. But the weight room was basically a pavilion with a slanted roof on top of it with basically netting on the outside of it. So it was basically outside. It was on a concrete slab, and the weight room the weights were basically all machines with a little bit of free weights that were basically rusted through. It was really, really shitty. Now, obviously, the one in Goodyear sounds like it's a lot more modern.
This is outside.
Modern.
It's not really outside. Like, it's more like the building has no walls, right? So it's more like a garage, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Where it has, there's columns, there's a complete roof over the whole thing, so they can be out there when it's, you know, raining or whatever. Except for the part where Bauer was, where he was throwing the weighted balls, that's not covered. But, you know, everything else is. And...
Yeah.
It's all really nice stuff.
So the city of Goodyear gave, I mean, so it, this wasn't like a levy. This wasn't like a tax thing. Like the city of Goodyear just loaned them money.
They loaned them the money. And the idea was that we're about halfway through. They signed a 20-year contract originally. And we're 10 years in. This is the Indians' 10th year in Goodyear. It's my 10th year in Goodyear. It's halfway through, and I believe that the loan repayment is more than 10 years. Like, they have more than 10 years to pay it back. So the idea is they're still going to be paying this thing off after their contract expires, so they'll be incentivized to re-up the contract. And the ballpark is still beautiful. If you've never been there, I highly recommend it. I was talking to some people on Twitter about it today because the Indians were playing in Maryvale today, which is one of the oldest ballparks. I've never been there. But everyone I've ever talked to has said it's a complete dump. And it's like there's only three old ballparks. There's Scottsdale where the Giants play. There's Tempe Diablo where the Angels play. And then there's Maryvale where the Brewers play. And I've been to Scottsdale where the Giants play. I don't like it. I personally like cup holders. I feel that they're useful when you have a cup and you want it held.
What kind of cup? A cup that protects
any kind of cup.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Anything. But they don't believe in that. They also didn't – I still don't know if they've had expanded their netting yet. I know a lot of the teams expanded netting this year, but I don't know that Scottsdale is one of them. They may have.
Right.
But they were always really bad with that. It was just the backdrop. So if you're anywhere down the line, you're just going to get smashed in the face. Goodyear always had the expanded netting. So there's a couple bad ballparks, I guess we're saying, but most of the ballparks are really beautiful. I really, in the West Valley, within 20 minutes of Goodyear, you have Surprise, Peoria, and Camelback Ranch. That's the Royals and Rangers are up in Surprise. The Dodgers and White Sox are at Camelback Ranch, and the Padres and Mariners are in Peoria. They're all beautiful ballparks. It's 20 minutes, so you can see half the teams. You know, between you had the Indians and Reds at Goodyear.
Yeah.
You could see most of the teams in Arizona very quickly if you wanted to, vacation down here. And I know a lot of people do that. They want to check out all the different ballparks, and I highly recommend it.
Now, does Arizona State share – I know they're in – I think Arizona State's in Tucson.
No, Arizona State's in Tempe, but they bought – or I don't know if they bought, but whatever. The Oakland's old place was in North Phoenix / Tempe, and Arizona State now plays there. Oakland took over Hohokam Field, which is in Mesa, where the Cubs used to play when the Cubs built Sloan Field, which is just gigantic, and they sell out every single game as soon as the tickets go on sale. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one's not – I honestly, the thing I love about spring training is the informality about it. I love that – the stadiums only hold 10,000 fans for the most part, and usually there's 6,000 or fewer there, so you can walk around, you can see things, and it's fun. Everybody's happy. Nobody's really blasted drunk, and it's cool. But then you go to it's like Talking Stick in Scottsdale where the Diamondbacks and Rockies play, and that thing holds, 14,000 or something like that, and Sloan holds about 15,000, and they actually bring in that many fans.
I heard Talking Stick is like an incredible ballpark.
It is. And I love the way they do their practices. You walk through the practice fields as you're going to the major league field, and the one side of the field, I think it's the first base side, I believe, is the Diamondbacks, maybe in the third base side is the Rockies. I may have that backwards. It's similar how Surprise has theirs set up, too, where they have the Royals on one side and the Rangers on the other. But in Goodyear, it's all north-south. So the south team is the Reds, and then you go up north, and then there's the Indians, and then you go further north, and that's the Major League field. So it's not as easy to walk. You can't walk from the Reds field to the Major League field. It's
Right.
not something that's physically doable. It's, a half-hour walk or whatever like that. So it's not something people are going to do, generally. Not that anyone is even coming to Goodyear to see the Reds.
Now, was Talking Stick, actually, you know what? Going back to that, when I was watching the game on television the last two nights, well, the first game against the Reds and then the second game against the Reds, I noticed that. I noticed that the Reds. Behind the Reds dugout, there was hardly anybody sitting in the stands.
Yeah, and it's getting
Behind the
worse.
Indians dugout, I wouldn't say it wasn't full. I mean, the bowl wasn't full at all, but there were a lot more fans on the Indian side than on the Red side. I had to take a little chuckle at that.
It's always been like that as far as I did run. I every year I do the I write an article about the Indians attendance, or at least I try to. I keep track of it every year, and I keep like the over unders on what affects attendance, and I found the primary effect of Indians attendance is playing on Friday, having fireworks, having hot dog, dollar dog nights. Those are the number
Promotions.
those are the top thing. And then actually the number one thing is weather. When it's good weather, the numbers are skyrocket, right? And when it's bad weather, the numbers are terrible. And it works the same. Like if you look at it month by month, it looks the same way. Like April sucks, and then June is good. But that's the same. It's because of the weather. That's why that happens. It's the weather, and it's the day of the week are like the two biggest things for the Indians in Cleveland. In Goodyear, the only thing that has a primary determinant or whatever that really affects who shows up is the opposing team. When the Cubs come in, it's a sellout. When the Dodgers come in, it's almost a sellout. And I don't believe I wrote an article on it, but I did all the research into it so I could at some point. And overall, I think the Indians pull in about 2,000 more fans per game than the Reds, just on their own. And I have seen teams get World Series bumps too. It's like when the Royals won, their attendance was way up in Goodyear the next year, but now they're back down again. Like nobody cares. It's too far out. And I think the Reds were competing a couple of years. There were a couple of years where I was like, hey, the Reds and the Indians might actually play each other. And then the Reds kept falling apart.
Well, I think I think when the Reds first went into Goodyear, weren't they still kind of competing in the National League Central, I
Yeah, it
think.
was 2010 was their first year. So you can look up. They've had a couple competitive seasons
Yeah, they won the
since they
division that
left.
year, I think.
Yeah, but it went away quickly, and the fact like they just had a they do giveaways now. They've done giveaways like 4 years now, and they started out and they did Michael Brantley and Billy Hamilton, I think maybe was the first one. Then they did Joey Votto and Jason Kipnis, and then they last year they did Corey Kluber and Raisel Iglesias. So they're scraping the barrel, and it's like for the Indians they could keep going. They could do Jose Ramirez, Carlos Carrasco. This year they're doing Trevor Bauer. Like they, Francisco Lindor, like there's a lot of guys that they could keep going to, Encarnacion, where you could keep going, and these are all stars, like every year. And the Reds are like, we ran out. So this year, when the Indians are doing Bauer, the Reds did Mr. Redlegs, the mascot.
Now, do you typically see an attendance spike with promotions?
No, not really.
Okay. So I was
I don't
wondering
think so.
if somebody from Cleveland is planning a spring training trip, whether they would more likely plan a trip around a promotion
No,
than anything else.
I think when you're coming from Cleveland, you plan it around the weather. So right now it's kind of cold here. It's really not. I mean, it was warm this afternoon, but it rained like a week ago, and that just took our very warm winter and turned it into a not so warm winter. So I think if you're coming from Cleveland, generally you go coming during spring break, which is what, like 2, 3 weeks into March, or
Yeah,
come later in
so
March.
typically, yeah, so you so you've been there for 10 years. So obviously, for a couple of those years, the Indians were not good at all. Especially some of the lean
I
Manny
think
Acta
Manny Acta
years.
was the manager when I was he, I think maybe Eric Wedge was for 1 year. I don't remember who was manager in 2010. But yeah, I think Eric Wedge was still manager in 2010. And then we had a couple years of Manny Acta.
Yeah, I think 2010 was Eric Wedge's last season, and Acta came in 11.
Yeah, so he did 11 and 12, and then Frank Kona came in 13.
So you have a pretty good sample size. You know, we always talk about sample sizes in baseball. You have a pretty good sample size. So more people from Cleveland attend middle of March, do you think?
I think more people attend all spring training in the middle of March, or in the end of March. Because when you look at, like, today Josh Tomlin pitched two innings. It's, Monday? He pitched two innings today. Most of the pitchers are pitching one to two innings when they start. As you get to the end of March, they're pitching five or six innings. So yeah. If you want to watch the starter pitch five or six innings, now, I prefer watching the minor leaguers. So today, Francisco Mejia hit a home run. By the end of March, he's probably going to be cut from Major League camp. So he'll be playing in minor league games, which you can attend and are all free, and I recommend attending. But he's probably going to be playing in those AAA games, not in the Major League games. So if you want to see Francisco Mejia, you should be here now. Especially because Francona, especially the last couple of years, has made it very clear he doesn't want minor league kids in his Major League camp if they have no chance of making the team.
Right.
He's come out and said that. And I think last year, maybe a week into camp, or maybe it was 2 years ago, but they cut all of the minor leaguers that they brought in to get that experience. They just cut them all and they're like, get out of here. We got to focus. We have to, you know, we have to focus on trying to win as a major league team, not babysitting you, you know, because you need this experience. So
yeah,
you got to go play. And I think it'll probably be the same. I think they'll keep Mejia around, but you'll see other guys like Yu-Chang Chang, Willy Castro. I think those guys are going to get relegated to minor league camp really quickly here.
Yeah.
I do want to talk.
Well, I was going to say, I completely agree with Terry Francona's philosophy, because I remember Eric Wedge, and particularly Manny Acta. Of course, you know, those were, like I said, more lean years, and the Indians weren't expected to win the division from, well, pretty much any of Manny Acta's years. But there were so many minor leaguers in camp deep into March. It was actually kind of at one point frustrating because you were kind of sitting there thinking, you know, these major league guys need some reps.
I will say that was always my argument against Michael Martinez being on the team, was that Michael Martinez is taking up at bats that could go to, one, major leaguers who are actually going to be on the team, and two, minor leaguers who need the experience.
Yeah.
But I think back in the Maniacta days, like, we wouldn't be able to do a show like this where we're just talking about, I don't know, the peripherals, because we'd be talking about who's going to be the left fielder, who's going to be the right fielder. I feel like all that stuff has been set, and it's been set for a few years. We used to really hone in on that, writing articles and talking and doing podcasts of who's going to play this position, who's going to play this position. We know who's going to play 23 of 25, or who's going to fit 23 of 25 roster spots, essentially. We can go into who's going to be the utility man, Eric Gonzalez or Giovanni Ursula. And we could go into who's going to get the seventh or eighth spot in the bullpen. But I think it's honestly a little too early for that talk, because somebody gets hurt and now they're both making the team. You know, so there's so much stuff that could happen prior to the end of spring training when you only have one guy you're looking at that it's not something you're talking about. When you're talking about, like, who's going to be the catcher, who's going to be the left fielder, like, you know, which five pitchers are your best? We know which five pitchers are the best. We don't necessarily know which five are going to make the rotation, because Clevinger is one of the top five pitchers, and Tomlin is not.
Yeah.
And there's a really good chance that they go with Tomlin and put Clevinger in the bullpen or something along those lines. And, of course, Ryan Merritt is out of options. So I guess, you know, there's a couple things like that. But in general, this whole thing is set. And there's some – I don't want you to say your catchphrase because it annoys the shit out of me. But Cody Anderson just went on the 60-day DL today.
Yeah.
So that will clear things up a bit, because I was rooting for him to be in the bullpen this year, and now I'm wondering if he'll be able to be in the bullpen this year.
Right. Well,
we still have too many pitchers on the Indians that are deserving of a shot that are never going to get a shot, is essentially what I'm getting to.
I wouldn't say that at all. I wouldn't say
You're going to lose them. They're going to lose Ryan Merritt if he's not on the roster.
Yeah.
So that's too many.
I think they're going to find a way to carry him though. I think they're adding depth for the bullpen, just so they can keep Merritt on the roster at least to begin the season. Yeah, I think so that's what they're going for because they just added. Pen. I mean, they basically had. Well, yeah. I mean, that's what Terry Francona wants. I mean, I'm pretty sure Terry Francona is really happy about that.
So you've got five of the best pitchers in baseball, or let's say three of the best pitchers in baseball, with Kluber, Carrasco, and Salazar. You've got guys, and Bauer can go deep into games, and he is one of the better pitchers in baseball. So you've got pitchers, especially Kluber and Carrasco, who could go 7 or 8 innings every time out, and then you want an 8-man bullpen. It makes no sense at all. That's and what happens every single time he's ever actually had the 8-man bullpen is somebody doesn't pitch for 2 weeks out of the bullpen. Now, I guess if you're protecting them from losing them, like they would be Merritt, there's an argument for that, but how is that helping anybody if you have a guy who doesn't play for 2 weeks? And it happens all the time. Last year I pointed it out, and it's the way I score my games. It's very obvious because I change the color of the box. I score them in Excel, and I change the color of the box when they play. So I know exactly how many games a guy has sat out, and it's very obvious, and there'll just be these huge gaps. And it's not just one pitcher. There were times last year where, like, Nick Goody and Sean Armstrong or whoever was on the roster, they would go – three guys would go 2 weeks without pitching. It's just because you've got all those guys who go 7 or 8 innings, so it's silly – to have an 8-man pen when your outfield stinks as bad as he is very likely going to.
Right.
You know, you need that extra hitter.
Yeah. But I think what, I mean, what history has proven that it's more favorable for a team to have pitching depth than not have pitching depth.
Okay, wait.
That's
not a one-to-one thing. Because if you look at the Indians, we talked about those guys, the guys we've already mentioned. In addition, you have Adam Plutko, Julian Merriweather, and Sean Morimondo. These are three guys. They've spent significant time in AAA already, all of them. They were all called up – or no, they're all on the 40-man roster now. Two of them were called up to the majors and didn't get a second in any game. Right. They were called up, and they just sat on the bench the rest of September. They actually sent them home early. They were officially on the 40-man roster, on the major league roster in September, and they were not in the clubhouse because they told them, you can go home, we're never going to use you. So to those guys, it's not fair to them, where maybe they'd be a number 5 starter or a depth option, like a bullpen long man for some other team. That's better than what they're getting – that's better treatment than how they're being treated right now.
Right.
And because of those guys, you don't necessarily need Ryan Merritt. So rather than DFAing him and losing him, maybe trade him. Or if you're going to keep him, maybe trade Clevinger or trade Merriweather or something. Like that's my point of being too much pitching. So I'll point it out exactly this way, right? You got two roster spots. You can either have two utility men, or you can have a utility man and an eighth man in the bullpen. So you can only protect... three guys are out of options: Eric Gonzalez, Giovanni Ursula, and Ryan Merritt. So, how do you distribute that roster if you can only save two of the three?
Well, to answer your question here, I mean, to answer your question, it's not what the Indians, it's not what their strategy is, it's not what their philosophy is. Because if it was, then they wouldn't have signed Matt Belisle. They wouldn't have signed Carlos Torres this weekend to minor league deals.
Those guys are no risk.
But they're competing for basically one spot in the bullpen, along with Alexi Agondo, who they signed at the winter meetings, along with Ryan Merritt and some other guys that are in the mix as well.
Well, when you add up Ryan Merritt, you're talking out of two
spots. Pitching in baseball is kind of like having another good quarterback as the as a National League football
team.
You
have to consider the rules of Major League Baseball, though. It's not just saying we can have there was a joke, The Onion had an article, or it was just a picture, that the Yankees, I think it was a full article, that the Yankees signed every single player in baseball so that they could have an all-star at every position and they could use a different starting pitcher every game of the year. Like, so they could, but there's rules in baseball so that you cannot hoard players. Because the teams did used to hoard players. They would keep a guy, like, let's say if the Indians could put Josh Tomlin in AAA. There is no question that Josh Tomlin is a quality pitcher. He's good enough to be a number three on a lot of teams. He's good enough to be a number five on every team, essentially. But he's not the he's not in the Indians' top five. If the Indians could put him in AAA right now and leave him there in case of an injury, that would be the best possible solution. Every time someone gets hurt, bam, you got Tomlin up there. You know he's going to give you five innings, not walk anybody, and give up two home runs. So, like, that would be the perfect solution. Give him a 10-year contract and keep him in AAA for 10 years. They would do that. You can't. There's rules against it. You are not allowed to do it because it's not fair to the players. The players deserve a right to play. You know, if he signs a major league contract, he deserves the right to play in the major leagues. If you don't want him in the major leagues, you have to put him on waivers, and another team can pick him up. And I guarantee you, they put Tomlin or Merritt on waivers, they're gone in a second.
Right, of course.
So you have to play within the rules. It's not just, we need every single pitcher ever. And besides the fact that they have, within 2 years, Shane Bieber and Tristan McKenzie, who I think are both major league quality pitchers.
Yeah.
And I think by 2020, they're both in the majors. So there's really no reason to hoard these guys at the AAA level.
I think basically what I'm saying is worrying about this type of thing in February and March and even April it's a bit silly.
But this is when you have to talk about it, because as soon as they say, Alexi Ogando, you're in the bullpen, we have to put you on the 40-man, Ryan Merritt, you're not, then it's over. Like, that's the last second you can think about it, because then he's gone. So you have to think about it before the end of March comes, when they start cutting guys.
Yeah.
Because then it's too late. No, you can't just wait till June and think about it. No, it's important right now. Just like the Eric Gonzalez-Ursula thing. And now, on my side of that, I would say you keep Gonzalez, you keep Merritt, and you get rid of Ursula, because I believe the value of the players of Gonzalez and Merritt is greater than the value of Ursula. I do think he'll get picked up if they DFA him. But,
yeah, absolutely.
I don't think he has much value for the Indians, because they have so many guys who could do that already.
Let's not digress. So last year...
No, that was a discussion. That's not a digression. That's what we were talking
about. Last year, there were 315 starting pitchers who were used for all 30 major league teams, which averages out to be, 10.5 starters per team. Okay. I think the Indians, I want to say the Indians and maybe the Yankees. I'm trying to think about this at the top of my head, were basically they used the least amount of starting pitchers. So I think they used, how many starting pitchers did the Indians use last
Something
year? Seven,
seven
eight.
But again,
yeah, which like, was which the Indians
they didn't have
were
to
among
even.
The lowest in
they
baseball.
They probably could have used fewer if they wanted to.
But they were the lowest in baseball is what I'm saying, okay? Or among the lowest. I don't know if they were the lowest, but they were among the lowest, okay? So basically what I'm saying is all seven or eight of the Indians pitchers fighting for a rotation spot this spring, they're more than likely going to be at some point used in a lot of innings this season. I mean, that's just baseball statistics.
But again, there are rules that say if Ryan Merritt is not on the 25-man roster on March 30th or whenever opening day is, then he cannot be on the roster 2 weeks later. He will be lost. That's no question. Same thing with Salazar or any of these other guys that have been on the team for a long time. If they left him off the 25-man roster, they can't. They'd be on waivers and they'd be gone in an instant. So you can't just do whatever you feel like doing, is my point. And you're kind of saying, like, oh, we need to keep them all forever because we need everybody. But you don't. Like, and also, at some point, you got to say, Adam Plutko, is this the guy we want? Or are we just letting him pitch, you know, take up innings at AAA?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. Because what we saw from the Indians
last
year was
an outlier. You can only keep a minor leaguer for 7 years.
I just gave you the stat. Major league teams.
Okay, But they have
10 point. Okay, let's just round up. 11 starters that Major League Baseball teams used on average last year. Okay, so, the Indians were an outlier.
Let's name them off. I'm gonna give you 11 starters right now and not include Anna Plutko. All right. So they go Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, Salazar, Clevenger, Tomlin, Merritt, Merriweather, Cody Anderson when he gets healthy again, and that's nine. How many more do we?
It's nine.
Like how many more?
Two more.
Okay, Sean Morimondo. By that point in time, you could bring up Shane Bieber, Alexi Ogando, if he decides to stay on a minor league deal. I mean, could easily fill in 11 guys and not include Adam Plutko.
We're arguing about nothing because they're going to keep Ryan Merritt because of everything that you just said.
But they might not be able to keep Ryan Merritt.
They are going to keep Ryan Merritt. I wrote on Saturday. I wrote the fact that I believe the Indians value a certain stat, and that stat is average exit velocity against for pitchers. Okay, and you can find all these stats on Baseball Savant, which is a great website, by the way.
Savant.
Because if you look at their starting, I mean, not their starting rotation, if you look at their pitchers as a whole and the guys that they've acquired, they've all had really good above average exit velocity against, including Ryan Merritt. Ryan Merritt is 13th they're going to keep Ryan Merritt. They brought Ogando in, they brought Belial in, they brought Torres in to give them more options if they need more options. That's why they did that.
All right. Now I said
because guys get hurt in spring. I mean, spring training is, we kind of make fun of it because we call it meaningless baseball. But sometimes injuries happen. Sometimes, stuff happens. And so that's why they bring these guys, so they're not in a position where they're panicking down the road.
And my point the whole time, and I've made the point over the winter, I've written about it, we've talked about it, that I was disappointed that they didn't trade Josh Tomlin. His option was too good to avoid, but now he's going to make you put possibly Clevenger and Ryan Merritt in the bullpen. And then those are your last two bullpen spots. And so it makes you make some difficult decisions like that, whereas your team would be better off. Now you could say, as soon as somebody gets hurt, then those guys will be the first guy in the rotation, but it seems kind of extreme to have two pitchers that good in the bullpen when you have a pitcher who isn't as good in the rotation. And of course they haven't made these decisions yet. They could put Tomlin in the bullpen. They could cut him. They won't, but I guess it depends
on if they value relievers over starters. And how Terry Francona wants to structure his pitching staff.
We are going to see players cut. We've lost players at the end of last season. Dylan Baker, he was a guy. I don't know if you liked him. I think Justin, a lot of liked him. There were people who really liked Dylan Baker as a pitcher. They had to let him go because he ran out of his service time ended. It's 7 years. You're only allowed to keep a player. He was past that, and he had to go away. So they lost him. They lost Jeff Johnson. They lost Percy Garner. They lost Travis Barnwart isn't a guy that I cared about, but they lost him, Chris Narvison. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of guys that were in AAA last year and are now no longer in the organization. Luis Lugo, he wasn't even in AAA, and he hit his limit and had to go. So I've always been for, why are we pushing these limits? Promote these guys as quickly as they deserve it. Don't hold them down forever. Don't have a AAA team that's full of guys who used to play three games in the majors and can't anymore. Let's get rid of those guys. Let's dump some of this useless trash. Let's promote the guys who, from within, who are deserving. And then we wouldn't have to have this conversation because Ryan Merritt wouldn't be out of options if he wasn't being pushed back by some of these other guys. Adam Plutko wouldn't be close to being out of options now. Those are the guys and I don't care about Adam Plutko. It's like, but he's there. So are you going to use him or not? Just make it.
We're basically arguing. We're arguing over nothing. And here's why we are arguing over nothing, which is typically what we do. But here's why. All right?
That's the only reason anyone listens to this.
Well, it's the only reason why – the only thing we'd be talking about three games in the spring training anyway. But here's
the thing. I was talking about bunting, and you didn't like it.
Would you rather us talk about keeping Ryan Merritt as the possible 25th guy, quote-unquote, on the roster, or would you rather us be talking about Ryan Merritt possibly being the number two starter in the rotation? So my point being is this team is so deep. Yeah.
That's how I started this discussion, which is
– I give you credit for starting the argument like that. But what I'm saying is, it's a great problem to have because we're arguing over, basically the seventh or eighth spot in the rotation and the extra utility position. We're not arguing over who's going to be our center fielder, who's going to be our starting shortstop, who's going to be our ace, which – took over basically the dominant part of the conversation of the Indians baseball that we grew up. I mean, if you think about it, we're both the same age. What was the common question going into spring training for most seasons up until CC Sabathia popped on the scene? And that was, who's going to be our ace?
Yeah.
Who's going to be our number one
starter?
Who's going to be our number?
So don't even worry about it.
Jeremy Sowers.
He's got it.
I'm still holding out hope that Billy Traber becomes our number one starter. What are you talking about?
He pitched one good game, and we both happened to be there, and it's changed you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, the only reason why you were there is because my date abandoned me.
Your date's attached to you. I don't understand how it can
be. what was it? A first inning? What was it? A first inning?
I just...
Base hit, right?
It wasn't in the first inning. It was like in the third or fourth, and it was some – it wasn't – shit. I can't remember who hit it. It was some utility first baseman guy because they had – half the Yankees starters were out with suspensions, and two of them, Alfonso Soriano and Derek Jeter, I believe, both got hit by a pitch they swung at and struck out on, and they both, broke their hands at the same time. Those are hilarious injuries ever.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to say that – this isn't an argument. This is abuse.
I enjoy abusing you. I enjoy abusing you.
You don't even get the fucking. You don't even get the fucking reference. So
no, I
think that's
the reference.
It's Monty Python.
It went over my head.
It's Monty Python. The guy goes in and pays for an argument, and they give him abuse. He's in the wrong room. He's in the abuse room.
Oh, so I just remember. Help! Help! I'm being oppressed.
Okay, I don't know.
Help, help, I'm being oppressed.
Yeah, now you're going to get beat me on that one.
Yeah.
Is
all
that
right,
in
well,
Holy Grail?
Yeah, that's from
it's
Holy Grail.
It's the two old ladies. The old lady and the old. I'm a man.
I got to run.
Fun. Okay, I really wanted to talk about Willie Castro. We'll have to do it next time.
All right.
I think I'm going to write something on Willie Castro. We'll see. I feel like when these guys get into Major League games and I'm hearing announcers who essentially you're saying that they've never heard of this guy before, that maybe the fan base needs a refresher on who some of these dudes are.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. Hopefully it's not another month between our podcasts, but these things happen. And as I said, this is the busiest time of the year for me. It's impossible to do everything. I want to be everywhere. I wanted to watch Shohei Ohtani's first start, and it just like I'm watching Indian stuff.
His first start on the mound or his first start at DH?
No, pitching. He hit today.
He wasn't electric by any means. But I
saw Yu Darvish's second start, which was lucky ever. His second start in a Major League uniform I was able to witness because it was at Goodyear Ballpark. But, I want to be at Major League and Minor League practices at the same time and watching four different fields and doing all this there. And it's just... it's not possible, so you got to make choices. So that's why I haven't been writing as much. It's why we haven't had the podcast out, but we'll keep getting more shit coming in.
Especially once the season starts.
Well, then I'm quitting.
No. Oh, okay. Sounds good.
All right.
All right. Good night. Good night, sweet pants.
Yeah, I'm not playing any games. let's just turn this thing off. Huh? Bye.